Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. I mean, usually here is when I try to insert some banter, some maybe non-FPL banter. But the first thing that strikes me upon sitting down to do this podcast, you open up a zillion tabs, so we have all the information at the ready. The first thing I see at fplstatistics.co.uk, and this is if you don't know this site, go there to find out who's on the verge of a price rise or a price fall.
Right.
Guess who is number one, top of the players to rise list right now?
Top of the players to rise list right now.
This player is 99% to rise tonight, Monday evening.
Mohamed Salah.
You are correct. It is Mohamed Salah, priced at 10.5 million pounds. He is number one to rise tonight. That means people are bringing in Mohamed Salah after game week. What game week did we just finish? 29? I just want to take a moment, and maybe a few of you are out there listening to this podcast right now, to put ourselves in the headspace of somebody after he scores a goal through the five hole. Mm-hmm. On Dubravka, who's like, oh, you know what, Salah? I think you're the one. I think I need to finally make room for you in my team.
I like that he only got one goal in this game. And when I say like, I mean I'm enraged by it, because I don't know if you saw the very end of that match, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
The referee decided that he felt bad for Newcastle and was not going to give a penalty. Not once, but twice. Did the guy even get close to the ball? I mean, it was like the last kick of the game, and that kick was right into Salah's shins. And that was pretty much the end of the match.
There was the initial challenge, or not the initial. There was the one where Lascelles was robbed him of a goal scoring opportunity.
Right.
I think the replay showed it was just outside the box. That said, it was still a red card, and I think it was close enough that they could have, given how that game was refereed, they could have mistaken it and called a penalty.
Yes.
But there were two pretty clear penalty shouts at the end of that game. And I guess we can use this as a segue into talking about how we did this game week. But you and I were on opposite sides of the FPL captaincy fence.
Yeah.
I, despite the better angels of our nature, I again went with Harry Kane, captain, yep. And you went with Mo Salah. So I was just cackling with a villainous laughter when those non-calls were happening against Mo Salah.
It was insane.
I was getting away with murder and I knew it.
Yeah, and we know with Salah that he needs at least a brace to get any bonus points. It's just the way the system punishes aggressive attacking play. I actually have a new theory about the bonus point system. Do you want to hear this theory, Brennan?
Yeah, lay it on me, man.
The bonus point system, in my opinion, is pretentious. Okay. I think it is a pretentious system. The bonus point system
is like being a fan of the Smiths or something like that.
It's just like, it's the stuff you can't see, man. It's like, it's rewarding, like real life rewards people who are good at the other things. Like, the bonus point system should reward fantasy results. And I'm like, we have, like, it's pretentious to me that we have to nod in the general direction of, statistics that don't really have a lot to do with the FPL game. Like, I am fine with the fantasy game being a very skewed picture of real life. A, totally unrealistic picture where someone like N'Golo Kanté has absolutely no value, right? Even though he's, one of the 10 most valuable players in the Premier League.
Okay.
So this
this
the
sounds
system,
a lot like the don't tax the rich to me.
I don't know if the game has changed, if the kind of open, if the game has gotten more attacking and the bonus system hasn't kept up or what. But at this point, to me, the bonus system has very little it seems to have very little reflection on the actual fantasy game, the way it's played. And it's sort of nodding at the things that don't really have a lot to do with fantasy. So that's my little theory.
Isn't that the point of the bonus system, is to actually help incentivize bringing players into your squad that wouldn't like, otherwise get attacking points. And
it's okay, like making you eat your vegetables. Is that what you're saying? It's like it's the broccoli or cauliflower of the
game. A little bit. And I guess I agree with you insofar as that's a no-win situation. Like, just because Nemanja Matic, okay, bad week to make an example of Matic because he actually scored his first goal for Manchester United. But right. Take any other week.
Sure.
Okay, just because Matic is being rewarded by PPS, he's... Despite him getting bonus, he doesn't even register an actual bonus point because he's just not a viable FPL asset. So the problem that the FPL is trying to solve with the BPS system, isn't even really solving. Like, exactly. If week on week Moussa Dembélé gets a four-pointer and you can rely on that, then I think the bonus point is really the bonus point system is really interesting.
Yes,
because then suddenly we're talking about Moussa Dembélé and Dele Alli. Okay, that's a subject of an entirely different segment, but I think sure. You see where I'm going with this.
So. Yeah, I do, and it's like I would be happy with the system to get reformed to and we've talked about this in previous podcasts. The system to get reformed to benefit defensive midfielders and defend, you know, people who just don't really get, you know, the kind of attacking returns that make them super valuable from an FPL perspective. But it feels like right now, like the bonus point system is sort of caught between two worlds.
Yeah.
And it's very unsatisfying. And it continues to punish the best fantasy players, it seems like, at least this season. You know, the players who are the most aggressive in attacking. I mean, you know, Mo Salah is going to finish with, like, you know, a record high for a midfielder. He's on about 5 bonus points on the season, you know, because the system just, you know, does not reward what he's good at. So, if someone like Mo Salah isn't cleaning up the bonus point system, I feel like something's wrong with it.
Yeah. I think at the end of the season, right. And I think at the end of the season, there's going to be a lot of talk about chips and are these chips still working and what new chips can we introduce? I think for me right now, if the FPL game could change anything, it is to create an actual point system for tackles and completed passes.
Totally. I would love that idea.
Yeah, really just like De Gea gets a point for 3 saves. This exact same thing should happen for tackles and passes completed, and then suddenly the floodgates open with players that could become viable.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if, you know, I mean, right now, like the fantasy game, right? You can pick any player in any team. You know, a good 60% of them are just completely dead on arrival. Like, you'd never even consider them. You know, if everyone was a viable option, I mean, it would be a total headache, but it would be exciting. Yeah. You know, it'd be really, it'd be a huge challenge. And it would definitely break us away from these template-y teams that you see right now where everyone's got, you know, 8 of the same 11 players in their lineup. So anyway, we weren't even, this wasn't even on the running order. So I'm sorry to totally distract you with this, but it was just,
FPL related banter session by the OAS cheaters.
Yeah.
Should we talk quickly about game week 29, how we did?
Sure. How did you do?
I think for a lot of managers, it was a very average week, small green, small red arrow. Coming out of the Monday Palace Man United fixture, I thought I would actually be better set up. Sterling didn't play, and I had 6 points from Shane Duffy coming off the bench. I've been waiting a millennia for Duffy to actually return something. So I'm thrilled to have him come off the bench with his bonus point and his lovely assist, his compatriot dunk, which I'm sure we'll get to a little bit later in the podcast. But 52 points on the week, and I ended up with a small red arrow. I think I dropped, you know, about 15,000 places. Actually, no, it looks like I only dropped about a couple thousand places to 133K. So still, it's going to come down to how I play the double game weeks. But, you know, maybe top 50K is still a pretty solid target for me.
Sure.
Not too frustrated. But big highlights here. My first clean sheet from Virgil van Dijk. Happy to see that. And Jordan Ayew kind of saved my game week with his penalty and bonus point there with the brothers Ayew coming in and tag teaming on that penalty.
You know, like 5 weeks ago when I played my wild card, and I played it very early, as long time listeners of the podcast will know, or a long time anyone's listened to the last 5 weeks would know, I was, you know, I was really debating between Ayew and
Callum Wilson.
Well, actually, no, at the time it wasn't Callum Wilson, it was
Glenn Murray.
No, I wish Glenn Murray. I would love to think. I'd love to say that was early in Glenn Murray. No, it was Ashley Barnes, and I like Burnley's fixtures, and so I went with Barnes and over IU, and so Barnes, I ultimately like a cut bait on right away because Callum Wilson was clearly this amazing player with four great fixtures coming up.
Yeah, real bandwagon happening there, and rightfully so.
Exactly, and so I've kind of missed all of the IU points and all of the Barnes points. And I've just been getting 2 points week in and week out.
You've been getting the Walcott-esque points.
Exactly. And I finished on 44 points. I had a super disappointing week. Lost my Fernandez Swansea clean sheet really late, which was very
What did we talk about last week, Josh? We talked about the Pyrrhic victory of right. West Ham. They're the maestros of scoring meaningless goals.
So true. They are the West Ham Pyrrhic victories. Mkhitaryan lost an assist from him. Two lost assists from Mkhitaryan in 3 days. And that was one was the penalty, which actually cost me my head to head with you. And the other one was the unmarked header that Koscielny couldn't score on. Arsenal.
No vitriol on that comment.
Oh, I mean, just the whole team is a joke. I mean, I can't believe I have an Arsenal player in my squad right now. And what was actually most frustrating for me this week was actually, because I didn't burn a transfer and, good on me having $3 million on my bench. Well, lo and behold, James Ward-Prowse doesn't play at all. I don't know. Yeah. The most kind of attack-minded, dynamic player in that squad the last 2 months.
Even if I don't fully agree with that assessment, he's at least a leader, which that Southampton team really struggles for leadership, and I think he brings a sense of gravity to the proceedings.
In both the FA Cup and in the Premier League, he's been really, played very well. He's been very attacking.
Solid player.
And then so they play a toothless 0-0 draw, and he doesn't get a minute off the bench.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is your team, Southampton. good for you. Your team is the most boring team in the Premier League, and I include West Brom in that category.
Wow.
So I got I ended up having Sterling didn't play either. And 1 point from De Gea, 2 points from Ben Chilwell. I was excited when he came on the 20th minute. They proceeded to concede a penalty like 4 minutes later. So that was fun. And he was just, it was in, obviously Callum Wilson again, just, maybe the most disappointing player in the Premier League right now, given his fixtures and the kind of excitement that came after that goal assist and three bonus points, in the Chelsea match.
The fixtures are starting to turn for Bournemouth as well.
Yeah, he's a complete joke. So for 44 points, I am really feeling I am in the full, like the full on FPL, like get me to the double game weeks or get me out of here.
Yeah, generally, like, even if you are having a great time right now in FPL, I think this is definitely the point in like a black hole in the season.
Yeah, where we see it in our traffic.
Definitely. It's like the last two match weeks. I mean, if you're Manchester City, each victory gets you closer and closer to hoisting that trophy. I mean, every match matters. Yeah. But this is that point in the season where it feels like they're playing friendly matches out there. You just look at how Chelsea played that match against City, and they're like, they're ready for – Hazard is ready for the World Cup.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that was just a weird. I did 1-0 would not have been my score prediction for that match. That is just
definitely not. Going back to the whole should they award consistent points to passes completed? I think this is the match in which Manchester City broke the Opta record for most completed passes in an entire match. Wow. And can you imagine those sequences in which the City defense and deep lying midfielders were just exchanging like five passes back and forth? just to boost the stats. I guess that's also demoralizing. It could be a mental tactic.
I was so demoralized by that Arsenal game. I can't believe I'm admitting this, but I did not watch Man City Chelsea. I just straight up didn't watch it. I was, Sterling wasn't in the 18, and I couldn't believe that I didn't get anything from Mkhitaryan in the Brighton match. I couldn't believe he didn't get the assist on that. That Koscielny didn't score on that unmarked header.
Yeah.
And so I actually I watched the movie Rush, starring with Daniel Brühl and Chris Hemsworth. Have you seen this? It's Formula One drivers.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen this movie.
1970s. It was super fun, and I'm pretty sure it was more fun than Man City Chelsea.
it was a strange game for sure. I mean, the one FPL takeaway there was Ederson might be a pretty decent replacement for De Gea coming up, and also David Silva is back, and you know, now we're all getting the itchy trigger about what to do with Raheem Sterling, and David Silva came out in this match and said to all FPL managers, forgot about Dre. So here we are.
Yeah. And Bernard Silva too, who I really don't rate that highly. At least I've said so in the podcast, but he's definitely played. I mean, he's really young, you know, I mean, I think he's like, you know, what is he like 20 years old, maybe something like that. So, you know, he's like a give it time player. I just don't like the way he's looked in that squad so far, but it looks like maybe he's found his,
He looks
gear with Sterling out. Maybe
he seems older than that to me. I noticed in his post match interview, he had a tuft of chest hair coming up from his jersey. You so rarely see players have actual body hair coming out of their kit. This is one of my theories about why Wayne Rooney always wears long sleeves. It's not because he has offensive tattoos, probably because he has lots of body hair, but that he's ashamed of.
All right, so you and I had just okay game weeks, but we have people who actually did reasonably well. I mean, it's kind of a just okay week in general. I'm looking at the top 10 of the Always Cheating Super League right now, and you know, 69 points I think is the high score there. So it's, you know, it was not a week for massive returns. I saw the classic person on Twitter earlier today who was like, "Well, I'm on 71, and you know, I think I might be able to hold on to my green arrow." And it was like, yeah, I think you might, you know.
Yeah. And I have Benteke to play. So is that any good?
Yes, that's good. He picked up his 11th assist in three matches or whatever it is.
All right. Let me read through the Always Cheating Super League top 10 after game week 29 here real quick, Joshua. Okay. Starting at number 10, it's Adrian Falk Revdal. I think this is a new entry to the top 10. His team name is Bodillos, scoring 61 on the week. Ninth place, Eric Pedersen's Benken Ball Club. Kind of a lower score there, 49, but maintains his status in the top 10. Moving up in eighth place, Andrew Ferguson's Two Girls, One Schlup. Seventh place, Stevie Sunshine, Cruise Control. Dropping to sixth place, it's Aaron Matheson's Heatin' Up. And in fifth place, Jagretto, that's Georgi Bashavanov's squad. Fourth, and then one through four, they all are in fixed positions since last
that's
week.
That's right.
Not to give anything away here, but in fourth place, Joe Stone for Fuchs Ake Ayu Blund. Third place, Graham McDonald, Gamchester United. Sorry, Josh, Graham didn't actually score 107 points.
Yeah, there was something weird with the score there a minute ago.
Second place, it's Prakhar Batal, Crazy Coutinho. And in first place, it's team name. That's Jamal Rice's squad. Josh, I give you one guess as to what Jamal Rice's overall rank is in the world.
I am going to guess 12th.
Whoa, wow, you're like, you're prescient.
I pulled it up while you were talking. Very, very, very impressive, Jamal. 12th. Have you ever been 12th in the world at anything, Brandon?
Get back to me on that. I mean, okay. I'm sure I can find one thing that maybe like you ever chew gum and spit out the gum and then kick it before it hits the ground in mid-flight? I've probably been 12th in the world in distance covered by kicked chewing gum.
Well, aren't you like a production director or something like that? Isn't that your title? Something in that category.
I'm basically a project manager. Sure,
project manager. Well, perhaps you're one of the top 12 project managers in the United States, and who also works in book publishing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's a fair assessment. I actually might be top 10 in that case.
It could be top 5 even.
That's our message to Always Cheating listeners. You're all top 10 at something. But if you want to be top 10 at the Always Cheating Super League, just go to alwayscheating.com. Click the league tab. There's an auto join button. It's never too late. I mean, I would scoff at anyone who joined the Super League with just 9 weeks to go. That's not really sporting of you.
Oh, go ahead. I wouldn't scoff. Don't tell people you'll scoff at them.
Actually, we need all the great managers. I mean, we already have all of them because it's the Super League. It's the greatest league in the world.
Yeah.
But we got to get on the FPL homepage. That's the dream.
Yeah. If you want to never have a green arrow, if you want every time you look at your total list of scores to be all greens and one red, I highly suggest joining the Super League because
it's a good reality check.
People often share those screenshots with us. Rant of the week, Jeremiah Johnson. I brought in Lewis Dunk in game week 10. Since then, I have seen 3 own goals, 28 goals conceded, 5 clean sheets, and 0 attacking points. After last week's own goal, I was going to rage transfer him out. However, I predicted here on the Slack that karma would ensure Dunk would score this game week.
I saw Jeremiah's post on the Slack, and I favorited it because I'm a Duffy owner, and I said I co-signed his prediction that Duffy and Dunky. I like it. I saw this. This is a bold prediction by Jeremiah.
Fast forward to Friday night after waking up on the couch after midnight, I brought in Mustafi for Masuaku, for a -4, and benched Dunk. 11-point swing. I am 6'7", and I just got dunked on.
That is amazing. Yeah. Hashtag dunked on, and I think we can make that a thing. I think we've all been there, right? Like it's Friday night. You fell asleep somewhere a bit strange. You wake up in a cold sweat and realize you haven't set your team. That's always when you make the worst decisions.
Don't you think that every time someone scores now against Arsenal, they have to give half their points to Peter Cech? Because he's basically at fault for every goal.
Well, you saw his tweet or whatever social media post it was where he took the blame for all of it, which was...
Listen...
I wouldn't want to emasculate... I mean, it was totally your fault, Peter Cech. I mean, it was
Exactly. People, like, Peter Cech seems like a really, like, a super nice guy. And, you know, I would love to, buy him a beer at some point in his life. And, you know, but I mean, that does not mask the fact that he has been terrible. And
if I were Peter Cech, I would be tempted to post on social media adding Mustafi. Would it kill you to mark a man for once in your life?
I know. And Kolasinac didn't have the finest defensive game either. Brandon, let's take a quick break and let's get into our Game Week 30 preview.
Okay.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Game Week 30 is here, Brandon. It is the week before the Game Week 31. Perhaps you've heard about this Game Week 31 on the horizon. Only four fixtures in Game Week 31.
I could tell even our listeners are getting sick of talking about Game Week 31 because we only got one question about it. So, I mean, we will talk about it. It is the going concern of managers, certainly a going concern of mine. But I think everyone's like, let's get it over already.
I think, part of the problem with Game Week 30, just as like an overview before we get into the game week itself, it is a tricky, if you want to bring in players for Game Week 31, like I have 2 free transfers going to Game Week 30. All of the players that I would want to bring in don't have very good fixtures. You know, it's, let's say you thought about maybe Troy Deeney. They play away to Arsenal. I mean, maybe that's not like the worst fixture anymore, but it's not a great fixture still. And Liverpool play Man United, Stoke play Man City, Bournemouth play Spurs. There's really just it's very hard to plan for Game Week 31 this week. I mean, I think what I'm almost certainly going to do is just burn one transfer. And then hold 2 for the next game week.
Yep, I'm totally in the same boat as you and had the same thinking. I didn't use a transfer in 29, and I'm planning to not use 2 going into 30, just as you say, because if you're not planning a free hit in 31, there are not a lot of 31 players here worth playing in game week 30.
it's I, you know, so I think whatever move I'm going to make, just because, you know, I guess Everton are the one team, if you can stomach having an Everton player, and given their run of fixtures, it's not an easy thing to recommend. They do play Brighton, which is, you know, a pretty decent fixture. Brighton have been pretty good at home. They've been pretty bad on the road. Yeah. So I do think Everton win this game. I mean, the last time they played a mediocre team at home, I think it was it Huddersfield 2 weeks ago? Or someone like that. They did put, you know, three goals past them. So maybe was it West Ham? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I do think that Everton's attacking potential is there. I mean,
and just talking about the run-in real quick, there was an interesting chart that was posted on the Telegraph's website or their social media stream. I plucked it off of some social media channel, and they did a comparison of run-ins, and the easiest run-in in the league starting now goes to Leicester City, then Liverpool, and in third place, it's Everton. Now, that's all well and good to say when Everton is actually one of the worst foreign teams in the league right now. So what does that actually mean? But yeah, if you're not playing a wild card for a while, in theory, right, Everton is maybe not the worst bet you can make.
It's true. Maybe, you know, what about Huddersfield? Maybe I think.
Huddersfield is a target for 31 for me. I think Lossell is going to be, I have no keeper to play in 31, and I mean, I think we can have a conversation about how to play defense in 31, and isn't even worth trying to find clean sheets where there are none in a pretty dismal game week. But Lossell is among the more affordable, and Huddersfield I think they could conceivably do it against Palace.
Yeah, I think they could as well. I mean, obviously, you know, assist king Christian Benteke will be going up against them, so it's a hard
one. I mean, when you see Christian Benteke bearing down, you know, your knees suddenly become baby food.
By the way, that was an insanely lucky goal, right? That first goal from Townsend, it was going the complete other direction. I mean, it's one of those, like, it's on target, so you can't call it an own goal, but that is the own goaliest goal that he's ever going to score. All right, so let's look at the fixtures here. Man United play Liverpool. Is this fixture finally bad enough for you to captain someone besides Mo Salah? I mean, you have not been captaining Salah much in general. I mean,
yeah, I feel like every game week preview we do, I'm coming off of like a counterfactual into the captaincy discussion. Right. Either I captained Kane and it didn't work, or I captained Salah and it was just ho-hum, and I captained Kane in 29 and Salah beat him, despite not even getting any bonus points. I mean, Harry Kane still had shots. I think, let's see, he had the most shots, 6 shots in total against Huddersfield. But still, he doesn't really look in great form right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kane doesn't look in good form. Mo Salah is in scintillating form. You don't need me to repeat it. Just go to fplstatistics.co.uk. He's going to price rise. We're all going to make money. It's like going to an Oprah. It's like, you get a Mo Salah. You get a Mo Salah. Everyone
gets one. So you think you might captain Mo Salah? You've finally been shamed into it.
Nah, that's just the preamble. I don't know. I think we have to talk about this. I want to hear what you have to say. The reversed fixture was a 0-0 draw. We all know that the way Jose Mourinho will play. The fact of the matter, though, is that United will probably want to play a little more expansively, being that they're at home. The Old Trafford fans will want to see some attacking play. Does that leave them open to counterattack? I mean, the United defense did not look spectacular against Crystal Palace. Smalling and Lindelof, that pairing is probably not going to feature against Liverpool. But, you know, United aren't in great defensive form coming into this match. All that said, everything that we have been saying about Kane ad nauseum still comes into play. And it's like everything goes against Harry Kane in a way. Spurs are away from home. And Harry Kane is not in good form at all. Glenn Murray has scored more goals in the Premier League in 2018 than Harry Kane has.
They do play the Bournemouth defense. Bournemouth has a terrible defense.
Yes.
One of the worst in the league.
Yep.
To me, this is like, it takes Liverpool playing a pretty bad team, I think, to not captain Salah right now. Playing a pretty tough team, to not captain Salah. And I think that Man United at home, I don't know. Honestly, I don't blame you. If you just captain Salah and you just think, you know what, this guy has gone like 2 weeks all season without an attacking turn, and I'm sure he's going to get returns again. You're probably right. I'm probably going to go ultimately with Harry Kane away to Bournemouth. I mean, their defense is so bad and so old, and I don't know why Eddie Howe hasn't fixed it. It's like how Francis and Daniels are still playing for Bournemouth. Like, how are they still getting minutes? Like, these
Nathan
guys are
Ake
so,
hasn't been all that great for them this season either.
He's been decent though. He's had some moments and defensively and as an attacker, but I just think they need like four Nathan. Like, they need four players of his quality, you know, or at least something approaching it.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm not saying this, Josh, because you convinced me. You didn't convince me of anything. I think I was always going to do this, but I think I'm definitely in the Harry Kane bus team situation right now.
Okay. So we're being very narrow. We're only looking at one track here, and I don't like it when articles or podcasts only look at one track. So what is it beyond, beyond Salah, beyond Kane, who else could we look at if we were trying to be creative, if we were trying to think outside the box a little bit? Marcus Alonso at home to Palace.
Sure. Chelsea coming off of the last couple of matches, they look like a team that is – they're veering into the Arsenal conversation right now, and that there is a lot of trouble with their manager. The players certainly aren't playing for their manager. What is the goal heading into the summer for either of these clubs? It does worry me. I mean, that said, Alonso going to do what Alonso going to do. And he even almost scored against City there at the death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't hate that. And Hazard, doesn't strike me as the type of player that is going to cry about it. But that team does worry. Man City against Stoke. Stoke is terrible. Can we please point that out? I mean, you could roll out maybe the off ballyhooed KDB captaincy.
Well, you tell me. I mean, you refuse to captain KDB. So
I guess I do. I think somebody pointed this out on the Always Cheating Slack is that De Bruyne did look a bit fatigued against Chelsea.
Yeah, his form has dipped a little bit, right? I'm looking at his let's see here. Well, I mean, I guess he's only 2 weeks removed from a 13-point return in that Leicester match. But three of the last four, he has gone without attacking returns.
Very much eye test. And I do it seems clear that De Bruyne is intent on playing as many matches as possible this season, be they league matches or cup matches or Champions League matches. And I do think he's smart enough to know when he can walk instead of run. And that Chelsea team was inviting KDB to basically just slouch his way through the 90 minutes. And he has been in the press talking about fatigue, and that's an issue. But if you still have Aguero, we have seen no real signs of Jesus getting back into the starting lineup. But, I mean, that could turn on a dime for sure.
Yeah, that would be the only concern. And he has been a little better at home than he has been away. I really think it's Kane this week is kind of the obvious pick there.
And just with City and Spurs and Liverpool, we have to monitor the Champions League matches on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, from injury to rotation, that's just something to flag.
A couple questions about Man United, Liverpool that came up. Andy Anderson says, I've been holding Pogba as a hopeful differential. Is there any chance he lights it up and plays forward the rest of the season?
I don't think there's a reason to hold on to Pogba right now at all, particularly looking at United's fixtures coming up. And they play Liverpool, as we mentioned, this game week. Then they blank Swansea at home. Great. And then it's the Manchester Derby. So you've got three game weeks in which Pogba doesn't look very desirable. And he's been out of form. I just don't like Pogba at the moment.
No, I totally agree. I think at that price point, there's just so many other ways you can go. I mean, you can pick up a game week 31 player. You can look at Christian Eriksen. You could even look at Arnautovic. I just don't think having 8 million in Pogba does not sound like a good investment right now.
So ultimately, what's the prediction here for United Liverpool? Another 0-0? Maybe a 1-0 win for Liverpool?
I think there's goals in this game. Maybe it's like a 2-2 draw or something like that. I don't want to get too bogged down in these predictions here because this is not our game is not predictions. But I do think that we'll see, as you said last week, it's what is it the lowest form of.
Prediction journalism. Is the lowest form of journalism, and obviously we're accredited journalists here. All right, so the next fixture is Everton versus Brighton. The form team, Brighton, going to Goodison Park. Everton, absolute garbage. I'm trying to work this one into my repertoire. I heard Pete Donaldson on Football Ramble describe something as absolute toilet. So to describe Everton as toilet right now.
Just a weird, like, the whole thing is weird with them. Like, they should be better, and I guess they just bought too many players, and they're bringing in young players, too, but then they still kind of have this old guard, and, Ashley Williams can't stop making gigantic mistakes, and he's cooked. He's completely finished. It's a weird mix of players, and, I think that this is not anything that people haven't heard before, but... I don't know. I mean, they have been okay at home, and I think there are some goals in this game. I may end up bringing in an Everton attacker for this fixture.
Ooh, tell me more. Who's on the radar?
I don't know. I mean, Walcott, it doesn't appeal. I guess I would look at Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
He's just a little more fun to bring in.
He is more fun. He looks to be the best player in that outfit right now. And the only problem with Sigurdsson is he costs a lot of money.
Yeah. And just, do I want to load up? Part of the problem too, is do I really want to load up an Everton players when, going into game week 32 and 33, they play Man City and Liverpool. So, I really don't want to have more than one or maybe two total players from Everton.
Yeah. So Leighton Baines is on the bench now. Where does that put your beloved Cucu Martina?
Cucu Martina. Well, yeah. He's given the assist king title to Benteke. It doesn't look good for Cucu, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things get rejiggered with Ashley Williams out for a few games. Maybe Cucu finds a home.
You think Cucu can play central defense?
I don't know, but we'll see.
put him anywhere, Sam.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So
play him as a forward.
Can we seriously talk about Glenn Murray though? I mean, the sublime and the ridiculous in Brighton's match against Arsenal with Glenn Murray. He continues to score goals, but there were multiple times in which Glenn Murray received the ball in space where he was effectively one-on-one with Cech, but he had it like a good 40 yards to cover, and he was just like, nope, not doing that.
There was one at the end where he just gave up. He just like was like, no, I can't. It would have won the game. It was a 2-1 game. It wasn't like it was like a 4-1, and he was like,
yeah.
He just was like, nope, I can't run that far. It's too far.
But I think the statistic is only Salah and Aguero have more goals than in the league than Glenn Murray in this calendar year. So.
Yes, he has five goals in the last five games. So very, very impressive return. I think like three or four of those are penalties. He's kind of like in that Milivojevic category, but 11 goals in the season. So not bad.
Were it not for the blank, they're away to Everton, then the blank, but two home fixtures against Leicester and Huddersfield, not exceptional defenses there. Yeah. It's an interesting hold if you have them.
He is. Yeah, you were talking about, and yeah, you're right. I mean, really through game week 34, the fixtures are good, but they must have the single worst final five fixtures of any team. They play Spurs at home, Burnley away, Man United at home, Liverpool away, and Man City away.
Yeah, now the Telegraph chart that I cited earlier has Brighton dead last in and great run-ins. Them and West Ham and Stoke.
Yeah, it's really, really brutal run. All right, so, yeah, Everton, Brighton.
I think your Everton point is if you're looking to play Everton in game week 31, go ahead and bring them in for 30.
Yeah,
bite the bullet.
Yeah, if you got some jammy Brighton points off the bench, congratulations this game week. You're not going to have Peter Cech to help you out in game week 30, so I think those points might dry up. Huddersfield Swansea is kind of a fun game. That's like a
for sure a
relegation fixture.
Definitely, Jordan Ayew, my main man. I like him in this match, but Huddersfield should take some strength from their recent run of form. I think they've, even though they capitulated to Spurs, I think they look decent enough. And I don't think that Spurs, Swansea, despite destroying West Ham, are going to blow Huddersfield out of the water. There's no captaincy option here for the likes of Ayew or Key, for that matter.
No, I mean, what's funny is, you know, it's not even, I don't think either of these teams are in, you know, massive danger of being relegated. I mean, maybe Huddersfield a little more so. But, you know, I mean, you know, Swansea are up to 13th, kind of amazingly, right? Because they were like bare to the bottom of the table for you know, basically the entire season. You know, Huddersfield are in 15th. You know, they're only 3 points above the drop, but, you know, at this point, I'd favor them.
As are Swansea. You know, they're on the same points, 30 points.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Massive, massive goal differential, though.
Yes.
That's like an extra point.
It is. Yeah. Given the situation, it certainly is.
Right, you're right. Okay, yeah, they're fine. They're only one more point above the drop, but they're not going down, Brandon. Do you think there's any chance that Swansea goes down at this point?
No.
Any chance?
No, absolutely not. I think you talk about it with the likes of Arsenal and Chelsea. There is no esprit de corps with those teams. Not that they're in danger.
No.
Swansea, they have it. They have the esprit de corps.
It's amazing. Get those AU boys going.
I know. Yeah, go Ghana.
All right, so yeah, but hard game to predict. All that being said, right, I would believe either team winning this match.
Yeah, fun game. Feel free to play your assets if you have them. Go nuts, go crazy.
Yeah, Newcastle, Southampton, pass. So I don't think we need to talk too much about West Brom, Leicester, but West Brom, Brandon. I mean, I guess you were right. I mean, they almost kept a clean sheet in the Watford game, and.
Yeah,
you know, Hagazi, your boy, almost came through.
I know he did. I was kind of banking on that one. Though, to my credit, I learned from game week 28. I did not preemptively load clean sheets into my team before the 90th minute. So you can't blame me for Hagazi losing his clean sheet. I mean, if West Brom are going to stand a chance, which, I mean, they're relegated at this point. It's kind of not worth talking about.
Sure.
But they will have to push to keep some clean sheets in the coming weeks. I have to lean into Hagazi, just given that they have a fixture in 31, and I will play them against Leicester. And the other interesting talking point about this fixture is Mahrez. He's kind of a bandwagon at the moment.
Sure.
And I think Leicester have the players to score against West Brom, obviously. Yeah. But I'll still play Hagazi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're at home. I think that's reasonable. It was kind of, I mean, Leicester almost didn't score, right? I mean, it was a very late free kick. I mean, the last kick of the game, basically. I do think Leicester win this game. I actually think they win this game pretty easily. I think that Mahrez goal might be the kind of goal. They just needed a little something, you know. It was like maybe they just felt like they needed a little, you know, maybe they push on for a Europa League spot now or something.
It is one of the more ridiculous defensive walls you'll see in your life, that Bournemouth wall that let Mahrez's well-taken free kick. I'll grant him that. But,
yeah, it was, I don't know if they were tired or what exactly.
It's Monday night on the East Coast in the States, 9 p.m. I am absolutely stunned that there is not a report on Pardew's sacking at West Brom.
What's the point?
True. Like, I mean, yeah.
It's like, what? I mean, you're 7 points above 19th place. I mean, you're just, it's over.
I think like, that, I think they have to win six of their next 9 matches to survive. It's obviously not going to happen, but they should, there should be punitive measures taken against Bardugo. They need to at least publicly humiliate him.
I think they want him for next year. I think they're just like, I mean, I don't rate Fardo highly either, but I think they're just like, yeah, let's just go. I feel bad because there are a lot of listeners of the podcast who are, we have a large contingent of West Brom fans, you know, Richard Orford and many others. So I feel bad for West Brom, even though I hate to watch them play. I will happily admit. Yeah. And in fact, I'm secretly kind of delighted that they're going to be going down this year. And
sure.
Apologies to all West Brom fans. It's not you. It's your team of aging 30-something defenders that have just like had my fantasy team for the last 8 years.
I can't wait to see which promoted team signs Jay Rodriguez in the summer.
It could be a good thing, right? This is kind of like it's like Aston Villa. Like they're kind of on their way back up now. Looks like they might get promoted this year automatically. It's like you got to come. Sometimes it's like you come back better, you know. So, all right, West Ham, Burnley. I'm kind of. This is like a good pure watch for me. I don't have any players in this game. I think West Ham, they've got a couple goals in them like in every game, like you said. They're in a little bit of trouble, though. So, I mean, this is a pretty important game for them.
Yeah, and this is part of the pure tantric experience of owning a Burnley defensive asset, be it Ben Mee or Nick Pope. The clean sheet will come, and I don't mean that euphemistically. But I won't rest until there is a Burnley clean sheet.
It's amazing that, I mean, how long are we? So they have not had a clean sheet since, was it game week 18? Is that possible?
Let's see. I think they've had the last one was game week 21, actually, against Huddersfield in a classic 0-0 draw there.
Right. And me got a yellow card in that game. So you didn't even get the full 6 points in that game. So.
Never satisfied with Ben Mee.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I still don't see it happening. Burnley are going to be away from home. I think that they're starting to feel the length and breadth of the season. And you only hold on to Ben Mee for the hopes of some future return, but I think the Burnley experience is over, full stop.
You know, Mee has only missed 2 games this season, and they were both 1-0 wins. So is Mee the problem? Is it me, Brandon?
It is you. It is. You are the problem.
It's not Pope, it's Mee. That's what you're saying. All right. Chelsea, Crystal Palace, the final match on Saturday. We talked about this game a little bit, so I don't think we need to go on too long here. I think that Chelsea will win this game, but it's hard to imagine like a 5-0 thrashing, right? It seems like they're like 2-0 win or something.
It's
like
a classic FPL stay the course fixture. If you've been playing Chelsea assets like Alonso, or if you've made room for Hazard in your midfield, just run them out. What's the worst that could happen?
Yep, exactly. Sunday's match, Arsenal-Watford. A couple questions here about Arsenal. James Bishop says, the Gooners have a pretty good run in. After they get tonked by AC Milano, is it worth investing? Typically, they end the season well, but it seems like this time they've already decamped to Ibiza. I think I said that correctly.
In order to finally
force Wenger out. Thoughts? Could you invest in anyone from Arsenal right now? Would you dare do it, Brandon?
No. Absolutely not.
You need that win first. You need something good to happen. Yeah, they're like they need. It's a sad situation, and I think it's just so sad. I mean, Chris Howell said I would like a therapy session for Arsenal supporters. You know, I am an Arsenal supporter. It's amazing how many bad times I've gone through as an Arsenal fan, but I do think this is really the worst. I think I don't think it's ever been worse than this. I mean, they just spent like $200 million buying like some of the oldest players in professional football, and they're not even good. Like it's a sad time. So I don't know. I mean, maybe their collection of 40-somethings can finish in fourth next year, but it's looking grim.
Everyone's flagging game week 32. I think rightfully so. Arsenal could possibly be an investment opportunity and 32. They've got a decent four-week run. Stoke, Southampton, Newcastle, West Ham before they hit United in 36.
Right.
But before then, and I guess it's Watford is their last chance to impress us. But at this point, their assets are too expensive and their form is too dire. And yeah, not worth it.
Not worth it. Yeah, not worth it at all. And I mean, I have Mkhitaryan. I'm not going to drop him, obviously, but it's not a fun time. I certainly wouldn't recommend Aubameyang right now because the team is still a little in flux right now, too. And so, you know, even, you know, someone like Aaron Ramsey gets rested despite the fact that they just lost two matches in a row. I mean, maybe there's something going on there, but as far as we know, there was no injury. It was just a strange all in all.
Xhaka kind of continues to weirdly tick along with some attacking returns. He's been...
Yeah, he's had corner kicks. Yeah,
he's been a weird pick this season. He's probably come through as much as any other Arsenal player.
Yeah, if he were like 4.7, maybe I'd consider him.
Yeah, I think that they might kick Watford's ass, actually.
It's possible, but it's just hard to predict. I mean, you'd have to be more hopeful than I am. Bournemouth Spurs. Now, speaking of ass kickings, I think Spurs are going to win this game really handily. Like, they're going to like really clobber them, I think.
Yeah, they've got the tough Champions League fixture hosting Juventus on Wednesday, but then they've got off until Sunday for this match. So, I mean, you probably read that as they'll come off of playing a really great European powerhouse. They'll be tactically fresh.
Isn't that Juve game actually after this fixture?
No, they play on the 7th of March.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Sorry, yeah, just to refresh everybody, on Tuesday, Liverpool are at Anfield hosting Porto, and that is probably not an FPL factor because they're ahead aggregate 5-0 on Porto, so Klopp is not going to run anybody into the ground there. Right. And then on Wednesday, City host Basel. Similar situation. They're up 4-0 on Basel. I'm curious to see if De Bruyne plays in that game. And Spurs tied on aggregate with Juve, though they're ahead on away goals 2-2. So they do have a tough fixture on Wednesday, but I think it could serve to benefit them going to Bournemouth. But yeah,
win or lose, really, right? If they win, they might be riding high. If they lose, they might want, you know, to take it out on somebody. So either way, I would not want to be the team that played them after this fixture.
Yeah. So herein lies the sub-tweeting of game week 31. Everyone who decided to bring in Ben Davies because actually Spurs have a good defense. They're doing pretty well. Those managers, and Davies looks pretty nailed on at the moment. How do you feel about that one?
I like it. I mean, I guess I'm still just inherently kind of cautious, and I think the Danny Rose might get some minutes from him at some point, especially in the double game weeks to come. But I mean, you can't argue with his ridiculous returns. I mean, 6-8-6-1-12-7-6 in the last seven.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic returns. I mean, Vertonghen is back and healthy, so that's a good sign. He did pick up 8 points in the 2-0 win to Huddersfield. So
yeah, looked decent.
Very solid. I actually like the idea of bringing in a Spurs defender. I've seriously thought about it. I mean, I think if I decide to go, you know, super light on game week 31, I might just bring in a Spurs defender because, you know, they do have a double game week coming up too.
So then real talk is, even though they blank in 31, you would consider bringing in Davies or Vertonghen for game week 30?
Yeah, I would consider it. I don't think the way my team is set up, I would do that. I don't think it's... If I want to bring in like either Gylfi or Mane in game week 31, I need more points, and I need more money to do that.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, I actually need to sell Marcus Alonso, but I can't sell Marcus Alonso before a home fixture to Crystal Palace. So I don't think I'll actually bring in Vertonghen, but what I'm thinking about doing is having two transfers going into game week 31 and just not using both of my transfers, and just going with 8 players in game week 31, possibly 7 if Moutinho doesn't play, but I just don't see a lot of points there. And then having two transfers going into game week 32. So
yeah, I like that strategy.
Yeah, it might work. I mean, I can definitely see myself just like deciding to go all in 31 because I won't be able to resist. You know, I love the little edge, but you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Keep them guessing, Josh. Keep them guessing.
Exactly. Final fixture, Stoke Man City. We talked about this already. Kind of a hard game to talk about too much. I think we need to see who plays for Man City at midweek. Obviously, we'd expect Man City to win this game, probably pretty handily, no matter who they roll out there. So,
yeah, this was the stumbling block for anyone who didn't bring in Shaqiri, even though he blanked in 29, still looking like kind of like a favorite to play in game week 31.
Yep.
And so I think Shaqiri, look for him to jump in price immediately following this Monday fixture when people think, okay,
yep,
we're now bringing, or they immediately bring in Shaqiri when the window opens up on Saturday morning.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't peg Stoke to do anything in this game.
Yeah, just one last question here. Jonathan Mills says, which Man City player is going to finish the season strong? Bernardo Silva, David Silva, Sané, Jesus, Aguero, De Bruyne, Sterling, and how many is it worth having? Then he has a pop in and says, Gundogan, Walker, Otamendi, Emerson, pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
They have an incredibly easy run-in, but it is tricky because they will have wrapped up the league with probably 4 or 5 weeks to spare, and there will be no reason for him to run out the strongest 11 week in and week out. So I especially against some really easy teams. And it's going to be a ridiculous challenge for fantasy managers to captain these players and they may not play, to not have them when the fixtures are so good. So we're just going to have to table that until, let's at least wait until game week like 33 or something before we really get into that.
Yeah, I do think Ederson is one to flag here. If in your wild card, I mean it's a goalkeeper. Obviously, he's like least likely to be rotated. Mm-hmm. If he's, you see backup keepers come in for cup runs, and Claudio Bravo has done just that for Man City. I don't think Bravo is suddenly going to come in and play for City in the league, so I think Ederson is probably the most nailed on. And I do have this, I think I've mentioned this a few times before, this pet theory that De Bruyne is on like an Oscar season campaign to be PFA player of the year.
Right.
And I think he's going to want to play as many games as possible, even if they don't need to win.
You mentioned that just 30 minutes ago, in fact.
I did, didn't I?
All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break. And I think we have a very short lightning round today. So let's take a break and then we'll get back to it.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brendan, we're back. Before we get any further, starting 11, we had a prize pack giveaway this last weekend. You have told me not to tell anybody how many people participated, but it was a lot. I will tell you that.
It's a confidential number.
It's a confidential number, but it really was quite a lot. And you can even see it on social media. A lot of people were playing for the first time, actually, which was really cool. I guess that's, people love swag, don't they? It's like when I go to a conference, I can't resist a tote bag. You know, I just love any swag.
Yeah, the constant refrain at like a work conference booth is this free? Can I just take this?
Right, exactly.
But so, yeah, Starting 11 hooked us up with some cool stuff. Yeah. A Starting 11 t-shirt, a refrigerator magnet, sticker, a great notebook to keep all key notes about what you're going to do in the double game week or with your daily fantasy team. So we're giving this away, and we challenged our listeners to see who could challenge you or me, Josh, and who could get the highest score on Saturday with all the fixtures happening. And we have a winner who has proven to be a pretty difficult matchup for me in particular in starting 11 challenges this season. And came in with a whopping 206.5 points. It is California's own Stephen Toomey who wins the prize pack this week. So congratulations to Stephen. We're going to get that in the mail to you right away. And if you're still interested in playing Starting 11, you don't have to wait for another prize pack because you can play the app anytime in which there are at least two Premier League fixtures happening. How do people play, Josh?
They lots of different ways, Brendan. They can download the app on iOS or Android. They can learn more about it first if they'd like by going to Starting 11. That's the numbers 11.io. They can even listen back to a bonus podcast that we did with Starting 11 co-founder Thomas Braun. You'll find that in our fall list of episodes. You can find that on our SoundCloud page, or it's actually just in our iTunes list of episodes too. You can find it there. And if you have any questions, you can just DM us on Twitter or Facebook. And yeah, if you're feeling the doldrums of the FPL season right now, this is a nice way to break things up. If you haven't wildcarded since game week 2 and you're waiting until game week 33 or something because you want to play, you know, perfect strategy, this is a nice way to finally drop some of that dead weight from your team and start fresh with a brand new squad. And that could be particularly fun at game week 31. You know, you can certainly get a full 11, even with only 4 matches, you can certainly get a full complement of 11 players into your squad. So, and once again, visit starting11.io to learn more, and you can download the app on iOS and Android. And congratulations, Steven.
Well done, Steven. You beat me for the 50th time this season. It's it's only fitting that you win a prize, so congratulations.
All right, let's move on to the lightning round. Just 2 quick questions here, Brandon. First one comes from Nav555. He says, any players worth taking a hit for in game week 31? This is assuming you already have 3 Liverpool.
Yeah, we mentioned him earlier, Shaqiri. I think he's going to be the potential dark horse. I guess you can't even call him a dark horse anymore because he is a form FPL player right now.
Right.
So I think it's 3 Liverpool assets. The big question, I think, and we could talk about this, is do you go Mane or a Liverpool defender?
Right.
And I think that could be the thing that makes or breaks 31.
Yeah, Firmino and Salah being kind of the two kind of must-have players.
They have to be a lock. Yeah, yep.
Yep. I think that really is. I mean, I think if you're wildcarding in game week 32 or 33, it's certainly reasonable to consider burning points. I mean, I think, those players aren't going to be in your squad very long. And if you're getting, you know, 0 points anyway, it's probably worth the risk. You know, I mean, it ultimately only costs you 2 points if you bring in like a midfielder, let's say. Even if all I do is just get 2 points. So kind of a, you know, low risk, possibly high reward situation. Someone like Aaron Moy could be interesting. You know, he's a player that's not too hard to bring in, something like 5.3 million, but could really go off in that, you know, Huddersfield Crystal Palace match.
Speaking of transfers, where do you stand with Raheem Sterling? Are you looking to drop this dude or what?
Yeah, we probably should have talked about him sooner. I don't really know. I'm really on the fence about it. I mean, I guess we'll see. You know, presumably he plays in the Champions League match in a couple days. You know, you could argue it's good that he's getting some rest now. You know, I think he's certainly played a lot this season. Yeah. I guess you can't drop him before an away game to Stoke, can you? You know, it's a hard time to drop him. I kind of wish I could. I mean, if it was just, you know, if he was just out, it'd be so easy for me to bring in Mane right now. I'd just do it a week early, and hope he did something in the Man United match. But I don't know. I don't know that it's a I think it's like it's still a wait and see for me, and I really hope I don't go 3 consecutive weeks with him. You know. Ultimately not playing at all.
Yeah, I generally agree in that. I wish it were a decision that I would have to make when I play my wild card eventually, but Sterling is that player in my squad right now where he looks like if I move, I'm struggling to figure out how I can turn a 4.4 player like Loftus-Cheek into Shaqiri. It's very tricky. So like in that position where I don't want to lose any of my good players going into 31, but if I commit to dropping Sterling, then sky's the limit.
I still don't have so much value in him. You know, I bought him at 7.8 or 7.9. You know, so I could sell him for 8.3. His price is 8.7. It's just hard to let go of him. But, if you moved a week early on him, then, you know, congratulations, because it was, you know, if I had known he wasn't going to play this weekend, I might have considered moving him to Mane right away. For the Newcastle game.
My last question about burning transfer points going into 31 is it worth parsing burning 4 on a defender versus a midfielder? And I guess you can justify it by saying, well, if you brought in a defender for game week 31 4 weeks ago, it's just the same. Like you're burning points one way or another, setting up for 31.
It's just so low reward with the defender. I feel like, right? I mean, in most cases, the best case scenario is 6 points, which means you're burning four in the hope to gain 2 points. Yeah. But all it takes is one set piece or corner kick to lose those points. And I don't know. So it's just, you know, this is why, like, it just, I think the same rules apply, which is just that burning four for defenders is often a losing proposition.
Yeah, I think you're right. So the goal for game week 31 is just to go for the gold, go for the attacking points as best you can.
Yeah, I think so. And it, you know, it's actually, it's interesting. It leads us into the final question, which is from Tom Smith. It's more of a, somewhere between a question and a rant. He says, how many more games do I give high-priced bums, outright slackers, and general wasters such as De Gea and Alonso? He says, my axe is being wielded.
That is threatening.
This is exactly. We had to report him to the authorities.
Yeah, it's true. De Gea is kind of, he's been a season keeper for me, but he is getting my last nerve because, you know, we're talking about Man City defense or Man City goalkeeper and Spurs defense. There are much better clean sheet possibilities out there at the moment.
Yeah, it's not his. I mean, it's Chris Smalling more than De Gea. Like, you know, De Gea is a great keeper, and it's just his defense is really letting him down.
The fact that Mourinho hasn't been able to settle a back four all season is kind of insane.
I mean, like, Luke Shaw just, I don't know. I know a lot of people said he looked like a little, like, overweight when he came on
a real
pitch today.
Fat guy.
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, so I know what a real fat guy looks like. It is definitely not Luke Shaw. Yeah, I think, I mean, there's only what, like, you know, 18% of the season left. I mean, now is the time to, you know, team value, is, you know, now is the time when you've cashed that in and you know, you can really look at fixtures and, I mean, now wouldn't be a bad time, especially if you've got that wild card coming up. If you just decide straight up today, I am not going to, I'm not going to keep De Gea through my wild card, then, you know, then great. Like, now is a good chance to, you know, to move him on for a cheap player and free up some money for 31 or 32 and, you know, before your wild card. So, yeah, I mean, Alonso, I think you've got to keep at least their game week 30. Just because they are home to Crystal Palace, it's, you know, an excellent chance for a clean sheet for them. You know, after that, you know, I mean, after that, it's
the Wild West.
Yeah, exactly.
Game week 30 is our last normal game week, and from that point forward, it is all out in FPL insanity. Yeah, so all right. Enjoy it while you can.
I think on that note, that's the podcast, Brandon. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/alwayscheating. We thank all our Patreon supporters, you know, so much. Every episode is really so much appreciated, and it makes it a lot easier for us to do this podcast, which is, you know, on a bad game week like today, Brandon, it's really the Patreon supporters that keep me doing the podcast. Not that I would give it up at all, but there are just times when I'm like, oh, I just
absolutely.
Like, I get burned out, and then I'm just like, you know what? People are actually supporting this podcast. It's on us to really to do our best job and really put together a podcast that might be interesting for people. So thank you in particular to Patreon supporters and, you know, anyone who listens at all, of course. You know, it's always appreciated. And you subscribe to the podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. And what else, Brandon?
You got to follow us on SoundCloud. You can leave real-time comments right there in the midst of our audio tracks. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're approaching 4,000 Twitter followers there, which is pretty awesome.
That's
at Hail Cheaters.
With no Twitter tricks, Brandon. That's a clean 4,000. No, like, you know,
we're
no
bot
games.
Free.
Yeah, exactly. It took forever.
Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. And of course, as I am fond of saying, if you zoned out while we were running off all those social media handles, please just go to the easy to remember alwayscheating.com. You can hear the cops behind me. They know this is too hot for TV, alwayscheating.com. So if you want to find out what the cops are coming to get me for, go to, I'll say it again, alwayscheating.com. All the links and everything you need, it's right there.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening. And Brandon, good luck this weekend. It's the calm before the storm. I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed. Enjoy. Hail Poku.
Hail Sorlot, who played well today. Look good.
Still no attacking points for Sorlot, though.
They're coming. Don't you worry.
Sir Mix-er-lot.
All right, Brandon. Cheers.
Bye.